Support for Art Talks comes from the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in downtown Davenport, with 16 independent studios and galleries offering original fine art and gift ideas in one location. Information is at bucktownarts.com. And from the Blue Cat Brew Pub, located in the district of Rock Island, serving food and handcrafted ales and lagers. And from Red Band Coffee Company, local roaster, offering individually prepared coffees, New Orleans-style iced coffee, and whole bean coffee at two locations in Davenport. Information is at redbandcoffee.com.
Well, good evening and welcome. You've tuned into a conversation among artists. For the next hour, we'll be exploring the mind and the creativity of our guests. This is Art Talks, and I'm your host, Bruce Carter. Well, hello once again and welcome. Downtown Davenport and the culture and the relationship of all the Quad City Chambers and all of the behind the scenes of Davenport and the Quad Cities is our theme today. Kyle Carter is with us. He's the executive director of the Downtown Davenport Partnership, and with him is Brittany Bersano, marketing and administrative coordinator of the Downtown Davenport Partnership. This is all through the Quad Cities Chamber, the downtowndavenport.com. Very interesting. Another part of the world that I know very little about, but I attend a meeting occasionally. And Kyle and Brittany, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
First of all, who are you and what do you do?
Who is this man behind the curtain?
And you're wearing a suit, and I see you at Hy-Vee, and you're dressed in blue jeans, and you're listening to really cool music.
Thanks.
Is this the other side of you?
It depends on who you talk to. People either think I only wear suits or only wear jeans, but it depends what crowd you're running around with. It's been... Glad to be here. Glad to be a part of the whole redevelopment of this downtown, and I guess who I am has been greatly defined by that by this evolution and this job to a large degree. Brittany here has joined the family of the Downtown Partnership recently, but has been through the gauntlet for at least a year through the events and et cetera. So. I don't know. It's an interesting question how to define oneself, but the career is certainly one way to do it, and it defines a lot of me.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with the Downtown Partnership or the Quad Cities Chamber?
So our main focus downtown, we help manage economic development. We do marketing. We do the arts. Just a broad range. Everything from River Roots Live to the hanging flower baskets that you see down there. We oversee all of that. And so it's so fun to have our fingers in a little bit of everything down there, and to put your fingerprint on that is something that I don't take for granted.
You're a real booster for the Quad Cities then, but you're bringing in economics, you're fostering businesses flourishing. For instance, Joel Reiser, who was on just a while ago with his new glass shop downtown.
Hot glass, right. Very cool stuff.
Yes.
He's working out of the, he found a partnership with the Davenport Printing Company in their building. Great example of artists merging with business and getting the best of both worlds. That's a very, very cool thing that he's doing over there.
And there's another gallery on 520 West 2nd, the two guys, Lepetti and David.
Yeah, Lepetti, yeah. They're about to get that off the ground right there on that corner in a building that hasn't had much in it over the years. And so it'll be nice to get a couple of artists and a retail front in there at the same time. We're pretty excited about seeing them open.
Look, how are you involved in things like that?
So guys, including themselves, had come to me. I didn't help put together that particular deal, but I had talked to them many times about looking for space for while they were in Bucktown, and I try to help them dig up space that they may not otherwise know about, and cut deals with property owners that are willing to work our organization actually provided the grant that gutted the building that they're in that eventually enabled them to be there. So we indirectly had something to do with that. But it's just a good example of that. This is just, downtowns are a giant jigsaw puzzle, as are all cities to a degree. And sometimes pieces fit together in ways you wouldn't have anticipated. I had no idea that those were the two artists that would ultimately reside in that space. But had we not fixed that building up, they definitely wouldn't be there right now.
Oh, you fixed the building up before they moved in.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And then since you knew about the building being fixed up, then you could easily lead them into the place.
Yeah, and they caught wind of it on their own, I think. And they met up with the property owner, Joe Wanio. And before you know it, they had a deal. And now they're painting walls and about ready to move in over there.
What part do you play in that then?
So we helped with a grant to lower the cost of improving a historic building. The downside of old brick, cool buildings is that they're generally beat up and they need a lot of work. And so property owners often will not gravitate towards repairing them because it's just expensive. So when a guy's like a couple of artists come along and say, hey, well, we've got a little bit of bread here. We don't have a lot, but we can pay a little bit. It's hard for them to move into a nice new space because it costs so much to fix up in the first place. So the rent ends up being too high for them to afford. In this case, we were able to help mitigate that cost of renovation for the property owner, who in turn was able to charge a lesser rent that a couple of guys that were just starting out could afford.
Nice.
So
nice.
All, you know, the threads eventually meet on this stuff in ways that I think a lot of people don't always realize.
Hmm. So if there are young artists who would, say, want to open a gallery or want to do some sort of business in the Quad Cities, they would come to you first?
They can. Some certainly have. And, you know, you don't always find what you're looking for. I mean, it's a good example. We had a photographer the other day that had been in downtown Davenport for years, but is in Rock Island right now just because there was a deal that they just couldn't beat. And so you win some, you lose some, but they're still in the Quad Cities. And as a community, we're just as well off as we were when they were on the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And the Bucktown is being sold. Do you know very much about that?
Yeah. I'm on the board there. And so that's been a challenge, but something that we're trying to do to make sure the organization can move forward. For those who don't know, Bucktown is a building full of artists that provides space for gallery space and studio space, a space to create and then to sell their products. And so we're hoping, Midcoast is hoping to sell its portion of the building to a developer and potentially reduce its footprint in the property, but remain there as a tenant rather than an owner.
The benefit of that would be?
Well, the benefit is speaking of old historic buildings being expensive, they're extremely difficult to maintain. And nonprofits, especially those involved in art, are often not the best property owners. They make great tenants, but they don't often have the cash to do tuck pointing or fix a roof or replace the windows, which are things that cost an enormous amount of money. And when you're mission focused and your mission is supposed to be spending money on the artist and spending money on how to elevate their profile or educate them or give them ability that they wouldn't have otherwise had, when you're flushing it down the toilet on bricks and mortar, it doesn't really do either party justice. So the hope would be that we'd have resources focus on the mission rather than being building managers. And that's the goal.
So you're selling the building so someone else can take care of the building while you focus on the art and the selling of it.
Yes, and so ultimately the owner would probably maybe do more residential throughout the building and have apartments in there. There's some people living there now, so it just depends on how they ultimately structure that, but that's what we're trying to do, and it's a hard lesson, speaking of the merger of business and art, that other nonprofits in the Quad Cities have learned the hard way. Is that, River Music Experience went through this, Quad City Arts went through this. Everybody had more property than they needed from an ownership perspective. It's just not a sustainable model. And everybody eventually runs into this same problem over time that, you know, where are you spending your money? We're blowing it on property taxes and fixing the roof instead of helping the artists out that we were put here to do. If I could get in a time machine and go back to about the year 2000 or so, I would run into all those board meetings and say, stop you know, go find someone else to own this and you be the tenant. You know, and your wives 10 years from now are going to be way better. And I wish we could do that in a number of cases around town.
Huh, that's a good model then?
It's a great model. You know, you want somebody else to cash flow the property so that all your money that, whether it be for music or the visual arts or whatever it may be, isn't just vacuumed up into property management. I mean, it's a forest from the trees kind of a moment sometimes. And I think that... it's a lesson that we unfortunately have learned in this community the hard way, but I think we have now learned it and are moving on from that.
But wouldn't they necessarily raise the rent on you?
Not necessarily. I mean, first floor tenants are hard to find, especially cool creative ones that people want to enjoy and be at. Artists make great first floor tenants. Generally, with these larger buildings, they're making their money upstairs. You know, they're making their money on the apartment complexes or the offices. And whatever's first floor retail is usually pretty modest in whatever you make, unless you got a Walgreens in the first floor, which is rare. I think most landowners are happy to just have something, you know, that gets your attention and is worthwhile. And that doesn't mean it's free, but you'd be surprised that a lot of times property owners are willing to do a deal on that first floor visible window space to make sure there's activity there.
Really? Huh. So the money is in the tenants on the third and fourth floor?
Often. Not always, but often. Huh. That's the case, especially with residential developments.
Interesting. My mind is thinking back to Teikyo Marycrest University when Marycrest sold themselves to the Japanese university system. And kind of limped along for a few years before it closed.
Yeah, all developers are not made equal. I mean, you need to find a good partner to do this kind of stuff. But if you find the right one, it could be a really good marriage.
Interesting. Kyle Carter, Executive Director of the Downtown Davenport Partnership, is with us, and also Brittany Bersano, the Marketing Administrative Coordinator of the Downtown Davenport Partnership. That's just really a mouthful, Brittany.
Oh my goodness.
What is your position? What do you do?
Now, I do most of the marketing for the Downtown Davenport Partnership, and so that consists of, right now, the social media. So we have a Facebook, a Twitter, and an Instagram account, and then we also put out a weekly e-newsletter, and so that contains all the information about upcoming events going on right in downtown Davenport.
I get that. It's on Facebook.
Yeah,
there's a
picture
of the Quad Cities,
too.
And then you say so-and-so is showing, and this is happening. That's great, because you can plan your weekend.
Exactly. You got a whole week ahead of you. So.
Unless there's a football game, of course, in which case it'll change everything. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. And this is something that's absolutely essential for the Quad Cities, to know what's going on.
Yes, definitely.
Is there like a center file? It's like Quad Cities weekend of October 30th. Do I go there? Is there something where I can find what's going on weeks ahead of time?
You can go to our website, so downtowndavenport.com, and we have a calendar that just goes on and on and on.
And the app, and, too. Don't forget about that.
Yes, and along with that, we have an app. And so if you're looking for events, say, in 2 weeks, then you can go ahead and put that, you can go ahead and look on that calendar. But we just send out the e-newsletter that has the week ahead so that people are a little more in tune with the recent ongoings.
Very good. And you're from the suburbs of Chicago, and you went to Ambrose.
Correct.
And how do you find the Quad Cities? Do you like the Quad Cities? Do you find something very special here? Because I think the Quad Cities is just a remarkable place myself. How do you find it as a kind of outside eye?
I've fallen in love with the Quad Cities, which I didn't. You asked me that 5 years ago, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't think that I would be saying that right now.
Well, compared to Chicago.
Exactly. But the thing I love about the Quad Cities is the community that's within it. You won't find the people here anywhere else. I mean, they're always willing to help, and they're always willing to kind of put themselves out there to get you to where you need to be. I think as a young professional right now, this is a perfect place for me to start. There's so much going on downtown, as Kyle was talking about earlier. There's so much development and a lot of potential here. And I think that that's a great place to start.
So. True. But then you get the thing is there's been potential for years and years and years. And when is it going to just kind of reach a critical mass? What can you say about that?
I think, you know, for me, I think we've been pushing the boulder up the hill for a long time.
Good metaphor.
In my opinion, it is rolling down the other side, and it's just gaining steam. It just crested, And we're getting there. I mean, a good example of the explosion in the music scene over the last 10 years has been incredible. I mean, Roztox opened up here in Rock Island. You know, Day Trotter has brought in hundreds of bands that may have otherwise never paid attention to our area. But due to our wonderful location at the intersection of 80 and the Mississippi River, between Chicago and St. Louis, we get all these artists here. And now, between River Music Experience, Roztox, Ribco, River Roots Live, we have more music here than I can possibly go see. And I see a lot of shows. And there are still nights where I'm wiped out because I just saw four shows in the last 7 days. And someone says, but, this guy's going to be here and he's going to be at Roztox tonight. And I'm just like, man, I got to cut out. I can't.
I got work to do.
I'm exhausted. And I think Bambi and Johnny, who you're familiar with, that are in Bedroom Shrine, Johnny's the artist for Day Trotter. I think they coined the term showed out, where at some point you just have to be like, no, I think I got to stay at home tonight. And that's happening here. We're not talking about Chicago or our lives in some exotic San Francisco neighborhood. We're talking about life in the Quad Cities, and that's a hell of a good problem to have, where you could have so many interesting artistic things to go do that you got to hit, time out every once in a while. And I've contended for years that if you're bored, you're boring. I mean, this town has stuff to do and good stuff to do, but you can't just expect it to just fall in your lap. You can move to Chicago and it will fall in your lap by default of it being that big. So yeah, you got to put forth a little bit more effort around here, but if you do it, it's there. And, back to the heart of your question of, are we at that critical mass? I think projects in downtown like City Square, which is the redevelopment of the Putnam and Parker buildings, and then the proposed addition to that, the phase two of that, which is arguably as or more exciting, which would be the renovation of the Capitol Theater, the renovation of the two bank buildings between on 3rd Street between Brady and Main, basically the north side of the City Square project. That proposal's $50 million. The project that's starting this November, December of Parker Putnam is $60 million. We're going to tear down the old Howard Johnson building and get that done and put up a new building there. There's over $200 million worth of development coming, and that's just downtown Davenport. So Moline's got its thing going on, Rock Island does, Bettendorf is going to have the new bridge someday soon, and they're going to have a chance to basically hit the reset button. That's a lot of exciting stuff.
Excellent, excellent. Let's talk about that the next segment. Kyle Carter, Executive Director of Downtown Davenport Partnership, and Brittany Bersano, the Marketing and Administrative Coordinator of the same. Let's take a short break right now, and we'll be right back after this gallery guide.
On exhibit around the WVIK listening area at the Augustana College Art Museum on 7th Avenue in Rock Island from November 17th through February 14th, Art Matters, the Triennial Art Faculty Exhibition. Hours are noon to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. At the Art Space Gallery in Building 4 on the Black Hawk College campus in Moline through November 14th, Juicy, paintings by Mary Zarin. Hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday. In the Morrissey Gallery in the Galvin Fine Arts Center on the St. Ambrose University campus in Davenport through November 14th, paintings by Margaret Babbitt. Hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. And in the Cattage Gallery at St. Ambrose through December 12th, Anonymous Women, photographs by Patty Carroll. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. At the Figge Art Museum at 225 West 2nd Street in Davenport, through January 4th, African American Art Since 1950, Perspectives from the David D. Driscoll Center. Through January 25th, Against the Grain, Wood Art from the Figge Collection. Through April 30th, A Legacy for Iowa. Hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Thursdays. At Midcoast at Center Station on River Drive in Moline, through the end of November, Digital Works by Lucas Burns. Hours are 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 5 Sunday. at Midcoast Gallery West on 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through the end of the year. Multimedia works by Linda Kelty and oils by Catherine Moneysmith. Hours are 11:30 to 5:30 Wednesday through Saturday. At the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in Davenport through the end of the year, pastels by Diane Bruce and photography by Marjorie Franklin. Hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 6. At the Quad City Arts Gallery at 1715 2nd Avenue in Rock Island through December 19th, ink drawings by Nadine D'Angelo and acrylics by Teresa Message. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Saturdays from 11 to 5. At Quad City Arts at the airport in the Moline International Airport through the end of the year, black and white photography by Michael Johnson, wood turnings by the Quad Cities Woodturners. And that's a look at current exhibits around the WVIK listening area.
Back on Art Talks. If you've just joined us, Kyle Carter and Brittany Bersano are with it. Kyle is executive director of the Downtown Davenport Partnership, part of the Quad City Chamber. And then on your car, there's a big D with a circle going around it. That's Davenport?
That's the downtown logo. Yeah.
Downtown logo. Very good. And Brittany is the marketing and administrative coordinator of the same. Brittany, you were telling us about you were in charge of social media. It's like, does that include newspapers, too?
Oh, no. Thankfully, I don't have to deal with that.
It's a different ballgame.
Yeah, the most I do with the newspapers is get the articles offline and put the news posts on our website so that it's readily available to those who are looking for it.
Very good. And is there some sort of art form behind social media?
There really is. I mean, social media, whether you're using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, there's an art to all of it. I mean, you have to put out material that's both telling a story of, as Kyle was mentioning before, we work with a bunch of different economic development projects. And so you really have to work hard at trying to capture what it is that the audience will find attractive and what will draw them in. And so, in a sense, yes, there's definitely an art to trying to grab the attention of your audience.
And what is that grabs their attention? How would you describe it?
I would say the main thing is the pictures. People are very visual. Mm-hmm. And then following that, it's what that picture, every picture has a story. So it's conveying within that picture itself the story of the building or of the architecture that you are trying to capture, and then putting into words effectively and efficiently without kind of overbearing your audience either in the same point. Trying to get across the story of both downtown and that photograph.
Nice. And the storytelling is the key. So you're a storyteller, and you take the photographs, I hear.
I do.
Very good.
I'll post, our Instagram is mainly pictures of the outdoor aspect of downtown Davenport.
What you'd see from the car driving
by. Yeah. And so whether it be a sculpture that's around town, the murals that are along some of the alleyways, and the bridge is a big point, you know, and the riverfront, which I don't know if people have heard, but Davenport is in the top three.
Top three?
Yes, we made it to the top three.
In front of Dubuque?
Yep.
We won.
Yep. So we are officially in the top three of best American riverfronts.
St. Louis, Dubuque, and us, and
it was we got
Cincinnati.
Yeah, we got third, and it was who were the other two? It was Spokane, Washington, I think, at first, and I can't remember.
North Carolina.
Somewhere in North Carolina.
I don't remember which city.
But you know, we were hoping to at least be the one in Iowa.
Oh, that's great. That's good news. And if Dubuque had won, it's almost it's close enough. Almost.
It is. They're in the top five.
I was going to say, two Iowa.
Yeah, not bad.
Oh, that's good. There's something marvelous about the Quad Cities.
Yeah, and Dubuque's beautiful. I got to give them credit. Yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah. This information is as of today that we're recording the show, so 10/22. October 22nd. That's the official information. So there's nothing further than the top three?
No.
Is there another round?
No, I don't think so. I think this is it.
That's
but
it.
We'll take
oh,
it.
We'll take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we
that's
got
good.
Number one in baseball stadiums. So okay. we'll
that's
take
true.
We'll take number
that's
three
true.
On riverfront.
Excellent.
Especially
excellent.
Considering the stadium is on the riverfront. So
I've got a question for you though, Kyle. How come we don't have 20 or 30 art galleries in the Quad Cities?
Well, you know, I hope that we do, you know, and I think we can. It's a matter of the art community doing it. I think that, you know.
In order for that to happen, you need the artists, which we have a lot of really terrific artists in the Quad Cities, the school of the Quad Cities, I call it. You need the venues, the places that are selling them and presenting them, and then you need to keep it going, the people buying.
They need to believe first, though. It's a two-way street. I think this community gives to artists when the artist gives to them. Gallery 114 on 3rd Street with Regan. I had a great conversation with him the other night. I think we were at Boozy's. And he just pulled me aside and was like, hey, you know, just wanted you to know that, you know, it's been a great ride. You know, he never thought he'd still be living here years later. He does all these cool guitar paintings live during concerts. So during River Music Experience does their Live at 5 throughout the summer. And so while the band is playing, he paints a guitar typically, but not necessarily. He does other abstract stuff that's inspired by the music, and he's been so successful here in town and sold so much art that he couldn't, you know, he doesn't want to leave. And he's a good example of a guy though that really put in the effort. So he markets himself all the time, he's on Facebook, he's really out there in the community, and he's making it work. And I think I've met business people that are just like some artists that think that, well, I opened my door. Where are the throngs of buyers here? And, you know, much like it could be a restaurant, you know. Just because you built it doesn't mean they'll come. And it does require some work. So I feel like we try really hard to find every nook and cranny that is affordable for an artist to be. If they knock on the door, we answer.
Is there a buying public here in the Quad Cities?
I think there is.
They don't want to have to go to Chicago?
There is. There absolutely is. And it's dependent upon what you're selling and whether or not the folks around here happen to find what you do to be something that they want to purchase. So I'm sure it's not a universal thing. But the idea that no one can make it here, which is often the theme that you hear, is not true. And I think Regan's a great example of that.
There are a number of...
I think on top of that, too, there are a lot of startup opportunities. For example, you can get a vendor space at the Freight House Farmers Market, and you'll see a lot of artistic vendors selling
Angie
photographs
Glade is
or
there
paintings.
All the time with their photographs.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we have the Beaux Arts Fair in front of the Figgy.
River Science.
River Science. There are a ton of festivals and different... places that people can start if they can't find one solid location just yet.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's, you know, just a piece of cake. It's hard work. Like anything that is successful, you got to really put some effort into it. And I feel like the folks who have done that in this community have succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bucktown is, in my mind, has succeeded. It's going well.
Yeah.
It's changing all the
time.
It
has. It is. Like I said earlier, you know, we want to make sure that it's financially stable from a building perspective, but mm-hmm. there's no doubt that the artists have been successful. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite success stories out of that, of Bucktown kind of being the formative place for Desi of Three Gypsies. Her glass jewelry is incredible. And she moved to the Village a couple of years ago and expanded and got bigger and needed her own home finally. And she's killing it down there in the Village. And more power to her. I mean, I know my wife has about, 20 of her pieces at least. And she's a great example, though, Desi, of a person, of an artist who really worked her butt off and grew slowly but surely. And it is a very successful business. And that is her world. She doesn't have a day job. She doesn't do anything else. She makes art. And she sells art, and she makes a living on it here.
That's great. I'm always deliciously pleased when I hear things like that. How about murals in the Quad Cities? When I came to town here in 1978, there was that big kind of underwater fish mural on the back of.
I've seen photos of that.
Yeah, photos of that, and I saw the original drawing that was presented to Quad City Arts, mm-hmm. and the colors flow together beautifully. It looked good, but when they stuck it on the wall, there was a translation to. I don't know, outdoor paint colors that mm-hmm. just didn't quite work. And within a couple of years, it got taken down. And I've been to San Diego, which has tons of murals all over. And my son is in New York City, and there are tons of murals in New York City, fabulous murals. What would that be like in the Quad Cities? Could we do that here?
Well, we've done a lot with the Quad City Arts Metro Youth Program. They've painted several murals downtown under the bridges. Actually was contacted by an artist last week about wanting to do another mural down here. It was a gal who just reached out and didn't know where to start and had caught my name from somewhere and we're in the process of helping her out to do one. So, yeah, I think we should have more murals in town. And if I had it my way, there'd be a mural everywhere in this town too. It usually comes down to money, and we'll fund what we can and do as much of it as we can, but I think that the cities themselves could definitely fund that kind of thing a lot more than they do. You could squirrel away $30,000 in a city budget, which is, pennies on the scale of a city budget, and paint one of those every year, two of them every year, and in 10 years you'd be covered. It's not rocket science. There just has to be a will to get it done.
How can that be done? Is that something you can do? Is that through your office?
Well, the Downtown Partnership has paid for every mural that's been down here in the last 5-6 years. Now there's some older ones for sure, but yeah, we've put our money where our mouth is, and I think we budget more for that every year. We've actually doubled the budget from last year. And that's in part how we got the wood turning piece done at the Figgy recently. And then also another success story of local artist with Dean Kugler, who did the Gravity, which is the enormous 25-foot tall sculpture that was at Art Prize in Minnesota recently. And got all kinds of love up there, and we're going to be placing it and the throne, if you will, the silver maple, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. Sugar maple.
What's that?
Sugar maple.
Thank you. Sugar maple. In the River Center, both of those pieces.
Permanently?
The throne will be permanent. Dean's piece will be there until Dean doesn't want it there anymore. But I think he's hoping it gets plenty of eyeballs down there, and the River Center is welcome. They want to keep it as long as they can. So maybe permanent, but that's more up to the artist on that one.
How do you set something like that up? I mean, obviously,
I make phone calls and shoot emails. It's great.
Is it?
I love my job.
What an easy job.
It's part of, Brittany was alluding a moment ago to the network, that we've built on a social network level, and just being outside and running into people and getting to know these people. I mean, they're just other human beings in the same space. And so after time goes by, you just get to know who makes decisions where. And so, okay, Rick Palmer runs the Adler River Center. Oh, hey, Dean just made this cool thing. Oh, hey, Rick, I heard you needed art. Have you seen this piece? No? Okay, check it out. So you send him an email. You go to the same place. Wow, that really is cool. 2 days later, Dean's, at the River Center, and we're picking out where it's going to go. And just like that, it's done.
Excellent.
And it's just a matter of doing instead of complaining about it.
And there's no committee to go through either.
We've got a committee, but we use it judiciously. Uh-huh. And there are some things that, just get it done.
the German-American Center downtown, and then that statue of Germanica welcoming everybody into Were you involved with that, too?
A little bit. That was, to the city's credit, that was pretty much their baby. There was a guy, Greg Allensoder, who's still around but not working at the city, I don't think, anymore. Greg really, you know, put his time and effort into that, and the city funded it and made it happen. Cool piece, though. Hopefully we got a lot more like it when the River Vision plan comes together, because we're planning a sculpture garden on the Mississippi, basically.
What's that?
Well, it's far away from being fully funded, but the idea is there that when the casino goes away, we'll hopefully build a pier and a boat dock on the riverfront.
What's going to happen to that long bridge going out to the casino?
The sky bridge will, well, the idea would be that the pier would be perpendicular to the sky bridge, so it would kind of be the natural evolution of the sky bridge into the water.
Ooh.
And boats would be able to park there, and it would, you know, the Skybridge is an icon. You know, people ask me all the time, what does it do? What does the St. Louis Arch do? It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. It's an icon. It's there. And the Skybridge, like it or not, is an icon. And frankly, actually serves a purpose. If you've ever tried to cross River Drive on a busy day, it was designed to see the river. So if I hear one more person tell me that the bridge goes nowhere, you know, I'm just going to lose my mind. Last I checked, the Mississippi River is somewhere, and it's frankly the thing we're known for. So to have built something that you can view the river from, that we brag about all the time, it is something that seems reasonable to me. But anyway, I digress. Point being is the riverfront will be a lot prettier when that casino's gone.
Huh.
And we are planning a sculpture garden in front of the Figgy, basically, that hopefully when the funds are raised to do that, we would have big outdoor pieces with great scale and would really do what they did in Des Moines, essentially, with when they built their John Papa John sculpture garden over there. And it really served as a magnet for development and just people showing up in the first place.
And then the galleries will come, and then the restaurants will come.
That's always the hope, you know? I mean, if you look at where we were 15 years ago, people, and you took a snapshot or one of Brittany's Instagrams of downtown today, and you showed it to them, they, you know, they wouldn't believe it.
Empty storefronts,
you know, just nobody down here. We've more than doubled the number of people living in downtown in the last 10 years. I mean, there were 400 apartments in 2002, I think. We are on track to have over 1,200 in 2 years from now. We already have over 1,000 right now.
Excellent. And is there going to be a supermarket downtown?
The Creative Arts Academy?
No, the supermarket.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said...
Creative Arts Academy.
Yeah. Well, the grocery store, it won't be a supermarket, but it'll be a grocery store within the City Square project. So we'll finally have that component downtown. And what people don't realize is that you need critical mass. You know, grocery stores can't open where there are not enough people to keep them in business. And the last thing we want to do is open something like that and then close it 6 months later. So we are just now attaining the mass of humanity necessary to keep a very modest store open. And we're looking to get that done. But back to the Creative Arts Academy, which I unintentionally brought up, that's another big success story of the arts, with the school district formally creating an artistic school, and it's in the middle of downtown, presently inside the library, but will be expanding to its own space.
And they've got they're in all the different buildings. What did you do with that?
I helped organize the concept of making sure that we use the River Music Experience and the Figgy and all of the arts organizations downtown as a routine element of the education. So Rachel Mullins came to me with a couple of other very good people from the school district.
The Frankens.
Maybe, yeah. A couple of years ago, if that even, it said, you know, we have this idea. So it was their concept of, we want to do this arts academy, but we want to do it downtown because these things are here. And I said, well, what good does it do to be near them if you're not actually using them and in them? And so they made their curriculum so that the students physically leave the classroom space and go and visit Ellis over at RME and learn about the history of the river and jazz and how New Orleans and that traveled right up here, and then they pop across the street and they're at the Figgy, surrounded by world-class art. The symphony is around the corner, and so they will be actually utilizing all these facilities that we've spent.
Excellent, excellent. Gosh, you've just got your fingers on all this stuff. Speaking with Kyle Carter and Brittany Bersano of the downtown, the Marketing and Administrative Center's Downtown Davenport Partnership. Time for another break. Let's take one now, and we'll be right back after this gallery guide.
On exhibit around the WVIK listening area at the Geneseo Art League Gallery at 107 South State Street in Geneseo, The Wood Art Show, works by Jim Dayton, Bob Benson, Carl Smith, and Warren Hadley. Hours are 11 to 5, Wednesday through Saturday. At Smith Studio and Gallery at 124 South State Street in Geneseo, works by David Smith, Colleen Curry, and other featured artists. Hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10 to 9 p.m., Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 10 to 5. At the Renee Gray Gallery at 101 South Cody Road in Eclair through November 30th, Colorants, featuring Emily Christensen. Hours are 11 to 5 every day except Sunday. At Rostock's at 2108 3rd Avenue in Rock Island through the end of November, Buoyant, works by Amanda Chase. Hours are 11 to 1 a.m. Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Sunday. At the Galesburg Civic Art Center at 114 East Main Street in Galesburg through November 18th, works by Claire Ashley. From November 18th through December 5th, works by Nancy Davis. From November 21st through the end of the year, works by Jared Lacey and B. Thomas Lytle. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10:30 to 4:30, Saturday 10:30 to 3. At the Buchanan Center for the Arts on the Square in Monmouth from November 8th through January 17th, Jim Weidel's exhibition. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturdays from 10 to 2. At the Muscatine Art Center at 1314 Mulberry Avenue in Muscatine through January 25th, Railroads of Muscatine County. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Thursday evening 7 to 9, Saturdays and Sundays 1 to 5. At the Dubuque Museum of Art at 701 Locust Street, Dubuque, through the end of November, Homage to the Tall Grass Prairie, watercolors by George Olson. On continuing exhibit, the Grant Wood Gallery. Hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 5, Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 4. And that's a look at current exhibits around the WVIK listening area. Kyle Carter is with us, and Brittany Bersano is with us from the Quad City Chamber, from Downtown Davenport Partnership. This very interesting nuts and bolts, fingers in all of these pies. Many years ago on Star Trek, there was Kirk and McCoy were looking for Spock, whose brain had been stolen and used as the central computer of a satellite or a space station, and
And Spock said, "It's fascinating, Captain. All this energy, information coming in and going out." He was right in the center, and you're almost that too. It's like you're in the center of all this information passing through you, and you know about Restore St. Louis, and you know who's responsible and who's to talk to in City Hall, and who's got the funding, and who in the
and
state
who doesn't.
Who doesn't, okay? It's like you're just this go-to guy. I think that's very, very interesting, Kyle. A lot of energy, but it's fun, and every day is different too. So what are you working on now? What's coming up for you?
Oh, we're thinking about River Roots Live already. Speaking of wearing lots of hats, we run that festival too, and Jason Gilliland is our event director there. He does a wonderful job on that. We're actually going to go visit South by Southwest in Austin this year too. And we're going to partner up with the guys from Daytrotter while we're down there to meet bands and meet agents and recruit more for that and put it more on a national map.
Bringing them here?
Yeah.
For River Roots?
Yeah, we've done a lot of big bands in the last couple of years. We've really changed the focus of that event so that it's more geared toward just a more modern audience and a younger audience. And we'll always still, be a little bit of everything, I think.
Well, the Bix, you can't leave that.
Yeah. We'll always have that component. But River Roots is really growing, and it's been fun to be a part of that ride, because it's been a ride for sure over the last 10 years on that thing.
And what's this about Pearl Jam and Counting Crows?
Yeah. Brittany, you want to cover Counting Crows?
So Counting Crows, they will be performing at the Adler Theater in December 16th. So tickets are on sale now. I would get them as soon as you can, because if they aren't sold out by tonight, they could be. So that's definitely one show that's coming that's going to be a big hit.
Who brings them here? Are you involved in bringing
them
here?
That's the Adler that picked that up, and Rick over there made that booking. They played, Counting Crows were here not too long ago through Daytrotter at the Barn in Maquoketa, and they were incredible. And I'm sure it'll be an awesome show. And speaking of bands of that era that have continued into the modern era, Pearl Jam was here recently at the iWireless Center over in Moline, and it just blew the doors off the place. And they wrote a song specifically for Moline and the Quad Cities, and Eddie Vedder sang that. And it made Rolling Stone and Spin and a whole bunch of national media picked up on it. They played No Code from beginning to end, which they've never done in their entire career. And they pulled it out of left field. Nobody knew they were going to do it. It was just another example of just cool stuff going on around here, and I was really glad that I was there.
The audience is really receptive to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously people are eating it up when Eddie Vedder walks out and sings a song about Moline and two Moliners and Quad Cityans, and it definitely went over well. But it was a really fun show, and it was nice to see that place sold out. I mean, that show sold out in like 30 seconds. So we hope to see them come back through town again.
Well, all my friends had pictures on Facebook of being there.
Yeah. I was. That's going to be remembered for a really long time.
Mike Schultz of The Reader said that the Quad Cities is a big theater town too, and that there are 19 different theater groups in the area.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I went to college with a bunch of guys that called them their house, the theater house at St. Ambrose. And so I'm connected because of that to that world a little bit. And Aaron Randolph, who's a friend of mine, did a play regarding PTSD and how to, called Green River.
Tom Taylor was in that.
Yeah, just incredible play. I mean, I've never seen a piece that just hit me like a pile of bricks like that. And where that you could hear a pin drop at the end of the play. And they ended up having a panel of soldiers that had been dealing with it. So after the play was over, you got to actually interact with people that really dealt with it in real life. And it was heavy, but it was really eye-opening. And, I mean, I learned a lot in that. I mean, I would say that was art with a capital A, in that not only was it really it was not just entertaining, it really, you left feeling changed. And Aaron has managed to do some pretty amazing stuff. He's done two other plays that he wrote and have been done here, but the theater groups, Aaron is but one of many guys around town doing that stuff. And And it is kind of amazing how much there is here.
A lot of them are moving from place to place, from venue to venue.
Yes, back to our earlier conversation about the real estate crushing nonprofits. It's wise to do that. I would rather see them bounce from place to place and do what they can afford and do great shows and be less worried about paying for a theater that they can't afford to keep up.
Very good. Is that what happened to Bruin View then?
Bruin View was a victim of its own success. he had an awesome thing going over there, and he grew and did the larger location, and the larger location was just, for whatever reason, didn't pan out. I mean, I don't know the nuts and bolts of the deal, but I do miss Bruin View. And if the guy is listening right now that put that on, I hope one day he can drum up the money to do it again, because he was a little ahead of his time. I really think that in the present day economy of the Quad Cities and the direction we're headed with the culture here, that the Bruin View, exactly the same as it was today, would probably be even more successful than it had been back then.
What we need is somebody on a national scale to come in and do an article on the Quad Cities, like in Life or Look or Saturday Evening Post, you know what I mean? Some major thing like that, and say, wow, look at the Quad Cities. They've got all of this. They've got this wonderful concert series in the summer. I mean, every week there's something going on in the summertime. You've got all these wonderful buildings. The storefronts is just ripe for blooming. It's just ripe for bursting.
Yeah, it's beautiful here, and it is a weird little chunk of America, you know, and every time I travel, you know, I see other things that other places do better or more or differently, and you just want to bring it back here and apply it here, and what you realize after a while is that everybody else has problems too. I mean, you go and you visit, you know, Portland or some of these just really amazing cultural destinations.
The food court capital of the world.
Yeah, they've got awesome stuff, and they're great communities, but they have their own issues too that they deal with. And you talk to the locals and, you know, they sound just as grumpy as the ones here. And then you begin to realize that, you know, it's not, you know, the community is what you make it. You know, you get in what you get out, or you get out what you get in, I believe. Yeah, that's what I meant. the more you invest culturally and, you know, economically, and you'll get that back. And the communities that have figured that out are the ones that everyone's moving to. You know, Austin being the new poster child of the it city, you know, it definitely has, you know, with South by Southwest and everything else, they were the crown right now. But, you know, 10 years from now, it'll probably be somebody else.
Could be us.
It may be. That's the hope, you know, and you've got to act like that's the goal, because it should be. And maybe we'll never get there, and maybe we will, but the act of trying and that constant energy of trying to build a place up is what gets you there.
It's an incremental effect then.
It's baby steps. And what people don't realize is that these huge cultural shifts don't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in business. It doesn't happen in the arts. It doesn't happen anywhere like that. I mean, Austin didn't wake up one day and they were just cool. I mean, they've been working on that for 50 years down there. I mean, Austin wasn't on the map 25 years ago to most people. Nobody cared about Austin, but they did something about it. Des Moines was the butt of jokes, so much so that South Park had an entire episode dedicated to making fun of them being backwards. I mean, the joke in the episode was that, I think it was a guy was frozen in 1996 and woke up and he was confused by like the 2006 culture, and they're like, don't worry, just, you know, move to Des Moines. It'll be just like 1996.
Golly.
And, you know, and they, you know, that was the kind of stuff, late night jokes, you know, on like, you know,
the dry cleaner from Des Moines.
You know, Jay Leno type jokes. And so, you know, flash forward 10 years later, look who's laughing now. You know, Des Moines on the number one on like every list you'd ever want to be on right now. Number one for young professionals, number one in the arts in Iowa, number one in economic development. They're just killing it. And it's because a group of people got together and said, we're going to do something about this. And we're going to change what, you know, we're going to fix this. And they did, you know, it happened. But I guess...
Do we need more people here in the Quad Cities? Like the new guy you brought on, AJ.
Yeah. AJ Lehman is our new... young professional director at the chamber, And one of his first big things that he's working on is bringing Uber to the Quad Cities.
The taxi.
Yeah, yeah, the kind of individual taxi service. And I think that the Quad Cities is ripe for that. I mean, we really need that. Our taxi service here isn't supplementing what we need. It's fine. We have it. It's great, but it's not enough. And having Uber here, I think, would really bring us to another level. And the transportation is a real issue.
Interesting. The bridges are the real issue. This is terrific. We've covered a lot of ground. Kyle, you're involved in all of these parts of the Quad Cities. The new block that's being built with the Scott Community College is mm-hmm. moving down there.
We got to raise some money first. But that's the idea.
Okay. Well, I'm sure
it has real legs, but the school needs to raise some money and to make that work. But assuming they hit those goals, that will happen.
Fascinating. And you've got all of the storefronts opening. And because I remember when it was just an empty facade of blank windows.
Yeah. Have you checked out Abernathy's?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. Becca does some really cool stuff. And Red. Both those girls are awesome. And they do really creative stuff. I think Brittany and I were down there with the rest of the Downtown Partnership crew not too long ago. And she can fix just about anything, let alone just the clothes that she's got down there.
Perfect. Do you want to give your website for you if someone is an entrepreneurial creative and they want to get going?
Yeah. So our website's downtowndavenport.com. Mm-hmm. And if you reach out to any of our social media, if it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Brittany will be the one on the receiving end of that. And I'm sure she can help out too. She responds all the time to people with questions and pointing people in the right direction.
That's great. And I remember when we would sit at a meeting together and we would be talking about new music coming to town. And here we are on the radio talking about the progressive nature of the Quad Cities. I think that's great.
Yep. And we've got more room to grow, and that's the goal.
Time for the last question. What advice do you have for young artists, young entrepreneurs? What can you say?
I mean, for me, it is... I don't give up on the Quad Cities, first of all. If you're an artist and you're here and you want to make it work, you can. And I think artists need to make sure that they realize that it depends on what you want to get out of your art. Let me rephrase this. Do you want to sell it or do you want to just make it? And there are two different kind of diverging worlds there. There are those who just want to create and it's an outlet and that's great. And there are those who want to create and sell. And so my advice would be to figure out kind of which camp you're in. And if you do want to make a living on it, then there are certainly ways to do that in this town.
And I would say be proactive. Go out, participate, put yourself out there. Go to the many shows at the Adler Theater. Go to the art galleries, stop by the Figgy and look at the exhibits and network,
Network, network, network.
Yes.
Very good. Kyle Carter and Brittany Bersano, thank you all very much. That's it for us today on Art Talks. Many thanks to our guests. Many thanks to our audio engineer, that maestro of sound, Dave Garner. As always, I'm Bruce Carter. Until next week, have a great night and a fine tomorrow. See you soon, Laura.
Support for Art Talks comes from the Blue Cat Brew Pub, located in the district of Rock Island, serving food and handcrafted ales and lagers. And from the Bucktown Center for the Arts at 225 East 2nd Street in downtown Davenport, with 16 independent studios and galleries offering original fine art and gift ideas in one location. Information is at bucktownarts.com.